Beloved congregation, the time is again there where the Lord's Supper will be administered in the midst of our congregation. Not when there is baptism, but only when it will be the Lord's Supper, then there is a special service, what they call a preparatory or preparation service. And of course, with baptism, that child that will be baptized, that have in that respect no responsibility, that is innocent of what will take place. But that is not so with the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, that is a personal matter. The hour when we die, that is a series of our whole life, because then there falls a decision that never can be changed. We read in Ecclesiastes 11 that where the tree falls, there it shall lay, in the north or in the south. But still, the time that there is the Lord's Supper in the church, that is also a serious moment and time. And that for each and everyone, there is under the audience in the church people that is thinking that sacrament that is only for God's children. And that thought that is right. You know, we talk, and our fathers have done the same thing. We talk about a church right and a divine right. And a church right that is different than a divine right. The church is our mother. That is what Paul said in Galatians 4. But that mother that brings two different children in the world. You read about the children of the mother, and you read about the children of God. And the one that is the confession of professing people, but those other ones that are those that are born out of God. the children of the mother that are enemies. You read that in the Song of Solomon. With the children of God, that is different. They love God and they love also their neighbor and those that are born out of God. But to come to that point, every time when the word is preached and that holy sacrament be administered, that have to say something to the whole congregation. Not only to individuals, but to the whole congregation. And that preached us time and again, if we have no part and lot in it, that it shall be terrible to fall in the hands of a living God. We have to emphasize that every time when that sacrament will be administered. Thus, it have to say something to the whole congregation. And what would it be a blessing if it made us that impression, that real impression wrought by the Holy Spirit, that it brought us on our knees and that it brought us to that prayer, Lord, be merciful to me in sinners. At the other hand, I told you this morning that the hour when we die, that is a serious hour. We never shall return to Mother Earth. That is done forever. But so also with the Lord's Supper. There is in our day something that we must observe. And that is this. We are all convinced to a certain extent that the times in which we are living are dark, outwardly very dark. But the clouds again are hanging above our country. Let we not close our eyes for it, but the voice of the Lord is there, lend, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. But dark in regard to the church too. The Spirit is withdrawn from the church on account of our sins. And if you think about the years before, when it was the Lord's Supper, then there was much more impression as that it is the last years. The Lord, he knows our heart and the secrets within. Thus we are not the youths. Not at all. But still, there is something that filled our heart time and again with fear. And congregation, I say that last week in that other congregation, The concern that is not only about the congregation, but that concern that is also in regard to myself. In regard to myself, yes, because we are called by the Lord that we make ourselves free from the blood of the heirs. Is that possible in our own strength? No. No. Some ministers, when they bid farewell to the church, they made that expression that they are free from the blood. If I have to go someday, I think I never have freedom to say that. And why not? Because who can make himself free from the ears, from everyone, and also from everyone that come to the Lord's table? That responsibility that lay for me too. And we can expect, ook aan our age, that every day the time is there that the Lord takes us away. That is not far away. No. But maybe close by. And then there are some things what I will emphasize, and that is this. First of all, that God used his word accompanied by the Spirit to work faith in the heart of his people. That is not so with the sacraments. The sacraments are not given to work faith, well to strengthen it, and well to uphold it, but not to work it. In our catechism, the Lord's Day 25, you will find that there very clear. Thus, that is one thing that we have to lay in the midst of the congregation. That holy sacrament is to the strengthening of that faith that the Lord already had wrought. And in the second place, it is impossible that we place the Lord's Supper before Christ. I hope you will understand what I meant to say to you. Christ come first, and then the Lord's Supper. But not the opposite. Not the Lord's Supper and then Christ. And it is that there are two things that we have to realize and to bring out in our preaching. Also today, And if the Lord spared us the next Sabbath day, my text is in John 3. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Thus far. That word was spoken by Christ to Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he was a teacher in church. That man came in the night to Christ, not on the daytime, because then he knew that on account of the enmity that there was against Christ, that they would cast him out of the synagogue. And that was something that he did not desire. He would remain what he was. He was not an indifferent person, that Nicodemus. To a certain extent, we would say he was a concerned person. He thought that he knows something, but also that he need instructions. That he came in the night to Christ, that was for the fear of the Jews, that he would not lose his position. And further, that he would be hated by the people in his further life. It was the reason that he came in the night to Christ. And when he came to Christ and that man, he lay at the table what he possessed. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. We would say a nice testimony, really. And still it is so remarkable, congregation, that Christ go not into all that that man told to Christ. No. He did not say to Nicodemus, I am glad that you know something, and I am glad that you respect me. No. Some people would say Christ was very unfriendly to that man. No. What was Christ's intention? His intention that was immediately to cut him off in his own religion. And to bind upon his soul the necessity of regeneration. Be born again as necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. Christ, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Christ, he said twice here, verily, on account of the necessity that man must be born again. In the first place, we conclude out of the word of Christ that man is missing when he comes into the world, regeneration, that he is missing the work of God. The sin of Adam is imputed to all of us. And by virtue of the imputation of the sin of Adam, then we are all dead in trespasses and sin. Missing spiritual life. And how can we now ever receive that spiritual life? Can we make ourselves alive? No. The Lord Jesus, he said in John 6, verse 63, that the Spirit quickens, regeneration, that is the work of a triune God. That it is the work of the Father, you read that in James 1, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that he should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That it is the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit makes alive. That it is the work of the second person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hour come and is now that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and those who have heard it, they shall live. Thus regeneration, that is the work of a triune God. It is only God who can regenerate us. We cannot persuade it to one another. We cannot change one another. And of course, regeneration, that is a renewing. Paul, he said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if we are in Christ, then we are a new creature. All things are gone. Everything is new. To a certain extent, congregation, is the work of God perfect. To a certain extent. The work of God in creation was perfect. God saw all that he has made and it was perfect, he said. It was good. Now in regeneration, the work of God in making alive a sinner, er in nu een sinner that is also perfect. Because in this respect, that if we have ever received the principle of spiritual life in our heart, then that life that never can die, that life that remains there forever and forever. The Catholic Church teaches the apostasy of saints. We do not. No. We believe that where the Lord ever had started his work, he shall take care for it. He shall uphold that. He shall never leave and forsake the work of his own hands. But at the other hand, the perfection that is not entirely. Therefore, as long as God's people, that regenerated people is in the world, then there shall be a strife between the flesh and between the spirit. Romans 7 and Galatians 5. That are two different places where you can find so clear that there is a strife in the heart of God's people as long as they are living here in the world. Now, of course, there are so many questions in regards to regeneration. First, regeneration that is the work of God. We are dead by nature, and we are enemies of God. Thus, there have to be taken place something in our life. A wonder that the Lord has wrought in our soul. In regard, that is a second thing, in regard to the time of regeneration, one of our old writers, out of 1700, he wrote in one of his works that there is no necessity to know the time. Paul, he knows it. The jailer had known it. Abraham had known it. But in general, the regenerated people don't know except exactly the time. They can well say sometime, there was a time in my life that I felt that the Spirit was working in me, that there was an exercising of faith in my heart, but still it can be that it had taken place before that already. Without knowing that, with other words, that they have light over it for themselves. But well said that old writer, it is necessary that is of the word of God and by the enlightening of our mind in regard to the knowledge that we can believe and that we may believe that the Lord has regenerated us. In other words, that comes out in daily life. We receive, I will give you some proofs about it, all based on the eternal word of God. We receive a regeneration, new thoughts of God and thoughts of ourselves and of the world and of eternity, of Jesus Christ, and of all divine ordinances. New thoughts. Thoughts about God, because by nature, then we all form a God in our imagination. The same as the heathens do. But when the Lord regenerates sinners, then he comes to the right knowledge of God. That means to a certain extent, because the perfect knowledge of God that shall be in eternity. It is here always through a glass, said Paul. It is here always partly. But they receive thoughts about God, about his attributes, about his essence, about his counsel, about his works. Different thoughts, and it shall fill their heart with admiring, it shall fill their heart with praise and with glory, that there is, there comes a desire in our heart that the Lord be received all the honor and all the glory. Different thoughts about ourselves. We see ourselves in our sin. We see ourselves in our separate state. We come to the knowledge of two things. That in the first place that we are unable to come back to the Lord, unable. But in the second place that we are unwilling to come back to the Lord. They can even in the first time of regeneration, they can even in that first time be a time that we think, if now the Lord was willing, so willing as I was, then to this night I was out of all my bends. Then I had the forgiveness of sins. Then I received the spirit of adoption. If the Lord was so willing, because I am behind him, I reading sermons, for what purpose? To climb up to the Lord. To climb up to him. To find something that satisfied my heart. Later on, of course, later on, then we have to learn that the Lord has to come down to me. And we have to learn for ourselves what a great enemy that we are of the Lord. Christ, he said, no one can come unto me unless the Father who hath sent me draw him, in John 6 verse 44. But in John 5 verse 40, then he said, you will not come to me that you have life. Christ himself, he placed the unwillingness in the Gospel of John before the unableness. And of course, Paul, he instructs us in Romans 8 that we have to be reconciled with the Lord as enemies. Of course, the whole way of salvation, we cannot figure that out with our natural mind, people. That is an impossibility. We cannot do it. We are well trying to come in it, but it is impossible that we do it. And we have to come to the knowledge that God is right and that we are wrong. We have to come to the knowledge in our life that we are lost, totally lost. And that totally lost that comes especially on the foreground when we come in our life to the knowledge that in Adam, our first covenant had, that we are condemned. And that we are laying under the wrath of God and under the curse of the law. The Lord has to recover that for us, people. And it is remarkable, you think about, I gave you that example this morning, maybe that can help us. I think about Isaiah 55, where the market of free grace is opened for those that have no money, right? For those that have no money. And then what do you find in that chapter? Is there a driving, that was in the Old Testament there, of course, but is there now a driving to take the Passover over? Do you find that by the prophet Isaiah, by the prophet Ezekiel? No. Well, seek the Lord while he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near. Well, that the Lord declared by the prophet Ezekiel, as I live, I have no desire in the death of a sinner, but well in his repentance, in his conversion. It is in our days, forgive me people, that statement. Forgive it me. But the Lord's Supper, that is, it seems, for many people as a sickness. Well concerned over the Lord's Supper. not concerned to know whether that the Lord ever have started it, whether that was a work of the Lord in their heart. And that this congregation, that is the first thing. And I know I cannot persuade men. No. But the truth of what I tell you this morning, you shall see it in the day of eternity. You shall see it when we standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Christ, that is the main thing. If you read our best writers what we have, and I can give you so many proofs, but in that short time this morning, I have to give you only some idea, but our old writers, they always emphasize what? The necessity of belief in Christ. Always. Boston, he said in his fourfold state, read it. Convince yourself with out of it. He said, there can be knowledge of sin, heavy conscience conviction, heavy. But he said, nevertheless, the knowledge of sin is well necessary, but the ground of our salvation that is not in the heavy conscience conviction, but that is in fleeing to Christ, in accepting him by faith as the only mediator and savior of our souls, as the only refuge and strength. Lead me upon that rock higher, which is higher than I. And that is Christ Jesus. And the main thing congregates him, whether that our soul now is concerned about him. Cain had some knowledge of sin. My sin is too great, he said to the Lord. Saul, he said to David, you are more righteous than I am. Judas, he cast in the temple before that Sanhedrin those 30 pieces of silver. I have betrayed innocent blood. Did that people have knowledge of sin? Yes. Yes. But it never broke their heart in pieces. It never humbled them. They never have the right tears. They never have in their life that sorrow after sin, that godly sorrow. And there was ook never that need for the forgiveness of sin. Sin was never unbearable for the people. That means that they have sinned against the Lord. Saul and Judas would well straighten it out with David and that other man with the Sanhedrin, but not with the Lord. Not with the Lord. And therefore, it is such an examination, a great examination, but is necessary for each and every one, people, that we not deceive our soul for eternity. And that there is a concern in our heart, because the Lord, he said in his word, when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Of me. And now there must be some desire, some need for that Christ in our heart and in our soul. And that must be increasing time and again, as we sing now, only one stanza because the time is almost gone. 324, teach me to know thy holy way and keep me from falsehood. Let thy law with me in grace abide. 324, 2 and 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Different thoughts about God, about ourselves, about eternity, about the world, but also about Jesus Christ. Pilate, he said, what must I do it? With him. What must I do with him? No value. To be rid of him, that was the only thing that he had in his mind. To be rid of Christ. With God's people it is different. Oh, that I find him. I would come to his chair. And I would argue with him. With God's people it is different. Son of David, have mercy with me. There is in a regenerated soul time and again a need for Christ and for his righteousness. Because it is God's way that he take away from us everything that is outside of Christ. He breaks us off. He breaks us off that there is no fundament is left. And when our fundaments are broken down and broken up, then there is a necessity and a possibility that that only foundation that is Christ is laid in our heart. But I have to come on with all my foundations, and that the time come that I am standing empty here in this world. I will read it to you, because then I have the right words. I will read it to you out of Isaiah 25, where it said, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth, for thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers, to be no city, it shall never be built. And that is what the Lord teaches his people here in this world, to take away everything for them. And if that had taken place in our life, then we are by the Spirit receptive for what you find by Isaiah 27, or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. That one thing that follows the other. And that is what the Lord said, congregation, in his holy word. Christ become necessarily aimable, precious, perfect, able. Christ become for us all and in all, but only then, after we are nothing in ourselves. And now for that kind of people is Christ, that he came in the world. For that people he had given his soul as a ransom. For that people he was crucified on Calvary's cross. And that he would say to his disciples, my flesh is really meat, and my blood is really drink. That is it only, a work of faith. And congregation, we have to examine ourselves, really. The Lord gave us a week to come on our knees. And if you would say, oh, it is my custom to go there, I do not need it, then you are entirely wrong. Entirely wrong. God's people that meet all the time in their life light. We start this morning with 384, and David, he said, examine me, search me, O God. And is there an evil way? Lead me in the way everlasting. God's people that come never above that. Never. And Rutherford, he said, we must every day, well, 2-3 times, go in our inner chamber to search our heart, better that the true work of God is wrought in our soul, except a man be born again. It is so necessary, people. It is possible that we the next Sunday no more here in the world. It is possible that we are on the cemetery already with our body and our soul in eternity. Dus what a serious matter for each and everyone. And I know, the Lord have to bind it up on our heart, people. But there is one thing that I have also to tell you this morning. Unconditionally to lay ourselves before the Lord. Unconditionally. Not holding on our conversion. But that we lay there as an unconverted in ourselves. And that the Lord himself will open the way. That what he had wrought in our heart, that he will strengthen that. And he shall do it. That is his own promise. That is his own word. He strengthened his wearied people. He shall not forget the cry of the humble. God's ears in heaven are opened for a poor and needy and afflicted people. And he will bring them in the green pastures. And what are the green pastures? That is his word and his testimony. And that is the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that the Lord bless the words spoken in this morning to a right examination for each and every one. And it is profitable that everyone come in prison with what we have heard this morning. And then the Lord shall lead out of that prison at his time. And he shall gladden the heart of his people, concerned or established. And he shall not be as a wilderness for their people, but he shall give them the desire of their heart, provision, on the pathway to the desert of this world, and that they increase and grow up in the knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord bless the words spoken in this morning hour of this Sabbath day. Bring it in the heart of the hearers that it was an encouragement for those that many time have no courage to live. And that it was as an awakening for all those that are thinking to have something but never receive from the Lord. Remember us in this week. Bind us together at thy throne. Give time and opportunity to separate ourselves from the world and to go in our inner chamber, Lord. What wilt thou that I have to do? May it dwell also in this afternoon and evening, and also in the catechizing of the children, strengthen and sustain, and that thy kingdom may come in our heart and in our midst. Those that return from the hospital to their homes this week, O Lord, strengthen them also, that old mother. Could it be, give her strength and all that she needs. But above all, prepare their souls for eternity. Look upon us in mercy, those who will celebrate that they are together as man and wife for 25 years this week. Lord, humble them in the dust before thee. Spare them longer for one another and for their children in the fear of thy name. And that all be to the honor of thy name and to the gladness of their heart, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 71. Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. And what follows? 71. You have read in the bulletin that there is a service Wednesday evening here and Ascension Day. And I hope it is not necessary to say that we expect you here all on account of the necessity of that event to commemorate. And Wednesday afternoon I hope to preach such a sermon in the Holland Home, 2 o'clock for Ascension Day. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.